Alleluia. Alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus said to them, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would long ago have repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. As for you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will go down to the netherworld. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus
Christ. Well, last week and this, every second year, the Church has us ponder the lessons of the exile. And it gives us this quick history lesson, bringing in the various texts about the period, giving us 3 days for Ezra, 2 days for Haggai, 3 days for Zechariah, 2 days for Nehemiah, and we finish with 2 days of the prophet Baruch. There's so much more there, but we get 2 days, for example, of Baruch in 2 years. It's very important for us to pay attention to the message that God is trying to give. And Baruch finishes the argument. Secretary of Jeremiah, synthesizing the why behind the what of the exile and drawing the lessons we need today. What's the big picture? Big picture is the exile happened not merely because of historical political intrigue. It happened as a direct result of the fact that the Jews were not living in right relationship with the Lord. Because of that, they were not living in right relationship with each other, fellow Jews, or with anybody else. And so, today, Baruch looking back and putting these words into the prayer of the Jews in exile, the realization that they had had in those years caught in captivity. "We did not heed the voice of the Lord our God. In the words of all the prophets whom he sent us, each of us," nobody was making excuses any longer, "each of us went off after the devices of his own heart in its most wicked state, serving other gods and doing evil in the Lord's sight." That they recognized their great need for conversion. So when they finally returned, we have what we see in the book of Nehemiah earlier this week, and in one of the most important passages of the entire Old Testament, yesterday, where from break of day until noon, they were receiving the Word of God, listening to it, because they recognized that this had to be the foundation of their life. What they said, as we heard yesterday, "Amen, amen," that's just not a liturgical exclamation point. The word amin is a verb, means to uphold. And when we say amen, it means that this is going to be the foundation. These are going to be the pillars of my life. They recognize that the Word of God had to have that role. And they were prepared to make up for lost time. That brings us to today. When Jesus, the Word, came, he wanted the lessons of the exile to influence the receptivity to him and to what he was announcing. But what was in fact occurring was that the same types of rejection that led to the exile were happening to him. So he was calling to conversion. Chorazin, just above the Mount of the Beatitudes, basically, in the Holy Land. Bethsaida, where Peter and Andrew were from. Capernaum, the place that was called Jesus' own town, where he'd worked so many of his miracles, where he'd preached so many of his most powerful words. He was calling them to conversion. And they were going on, same old, same old. Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida. As for you, Capernaum, if the deeds done in you, if the words heard in your places had been heard in the terribly debauched Phoenician towns of Tyre and Sidon along the coast, or even in Sodom and Gomorrah, two cities destroyed because of their inhospitality to God, shown in the way that they would even try to molest rather than love visitors. If these deeds that you have witnessed were done there, they would have repented. We can think of ancient Nineveh. They would have repented. But you haven't repented yet. In St. Matthew's version of the scene, Jesus will describe that you have someone far greater than Solomon, whom the Queen of Sheba traveled 1,660 miles with a whole retinue to see, or the Ninevites who had heard Jonah. You have a far greater than Jonah here. He wanted them, learning from those experiences, to grasp the reality. So yesterday, speaking not just to the 12, but to the 72, before he was sending them out with instructions to become these prophets, to let people know that the kingdom of God is at hand, therefore repent and believe in the good news, don't put it off. He was letting them know that they might experience rejection, but that many would receive. Into whatever house they enter, bless that house, offer it peace, stay there. But then there would be others who would reject. And he finishes these whole instructions by talking about Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, saying, whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me and rejects the one who sent me. That they were being sent out not with their own words, they were being sent out by God, and that they would experience some of the same rejection that God had experienced at the time of the exile, that the prophets had experienced before them. But as he would say in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are you when everybody hates and reviles you and uses your name as a curse word because of me. So they did to the prophets that came before you. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven will be great. What's our reaction to the mighty deeds that the Lord does in our midst? How do we respond to the Word of God? What's done in our presence every day is so much greater even than what was done in Chorazin, Bethsaida, in Capernaum. Do we respond? Do we receive? Do we act on? And do we share this extraordinary treasure? The Lord gives us these words not to scare the hell out of us, literally, because he doesn't like to motivate us through fear. But he gives us these words so that we might recognize what an incredible treasure we have, and learning from the lessons who neglected God's gifts in the past, to treasure them as they deserve, and to go on out together with the Lord, knowing that if we have listened to and put into practice the words of God, those who hear us will be hearing the one who sent us, will be hearing God. As we go on out and show in our actions and with our lips God's very own love and His mercy. They're able to look beyond us to the one who called us, commissioned us, sent us forth with this extraordinary power. Today, we celebrate two holy ones. Saint Bruno, who is an extraordinary witness of how to receive God's word well, pondering in his contemplative heart and letting it become the structure of his whole life. His entire vocation is one big amen to the holy word and action of God. Blessed Marie Rose de Rocher, my fellow French Canadian, who, having received this, wanted to pass it on as of the first importance, as she did in founding so many schools, as the foundress of the Institute of the Holy Names of Mary and Jesus, Jesus and Mary, so that people would be able, young new generations would be able, not to recapitulate what had happened in the history of Israel, but rather enter the kingdom and help history become salvation history. Today, the Lord, with the words of Psalm 95 and the Alleluia voice, reminds us, based on this entire trajectory of the past from which He wants to draw out good. If today you hear my voice, harden not your hearts. Praise be Jesus Christ.